Dina Lekovic, and I'm the Communications Director for the Muslim Public Affairs Council.
And I understand that your organization is mobilizing to participate in the May 1st protest for immigrants' rights.
Yes, we are.
And tell me a little bit about that, because I think most of the mobilization has been from the Mexican mm-hmm. and Latin community. And what are some of the special issues that the Muslim community has that they're involved with this for?
Well, we're approaching this issue, and the reason that the Muslim community is coming on board with this issue is because it's one where there are issues of shared concern. The issues that Latinos are organizing around in terms of reunification, in terms of there being a process towards citizenship, in terms of all of these different aspects, these same issues affect the immigrant portion of the Muslim community, which is not the entire portion of the Muslim community, but we feel that there are a number of issues in common, and frankly, we are getting involved in this issue because the issue is important, because it's one, it's an issue of social justice, and it's an issue that our religion mandates that we get involved with, because there should be amenable ways where immigrants can become part of the nation that they desire to be a citizen of, and we believe that the current immigration system is broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the things that would differentiate the Muslim community and their issues mm-hmm. that you see?
Well, there, you know, specifically some of the things that I've been hearing about have to do with some of the lesser known provisions of the Sensenbrenner bill and of others. For example, and this is a very specific example, but for example, the portion of the bill that criminalizes faith-based organizations for helping people in need who turn out to be undocumented also affects our communities, because in mosque settings, you know, one of the pillars of Islam is almsgiving, is charity to people who are in need, Muslim and non-Muslim. It goes to whoever needs it. And so mosques take on a role of providing assistance to the broader community. And in many mosque settings, needy individuals come into the mosque and ask for help, ask for financial assistance. And the mosques are not do not feel that they should have to ask for documentation in order to be able to help somebody who is clearly in need. So that's one specific example, but it gives you an idea of how it affects directly our communities. And beyond that, you know, the typical sorts of issues in terms of people being undocumented, Muslim immigrants that are coming into the country are generally not dealing with being undocumented in the same ways. However, if they overstay their visas, if they are their status expires in other types of situations, this also puts them in jeopardy. And for our community, you know, this has less to do with war on terror issues than it has to do with American citizenship and democracy issues. We are not entering this issue through the lens of the war on terror. We're entering it through the lens of wanting to be a part of the fabric of our nation.
So what are some of the actions that you'll be taking on May 1st?
Well, we're calling for people to join the existing marches. We are asking people to join the marches in Los Angeles after school, after work, and to join the mass action that is taking place so that we can stand in solidarity with others who feel that this issue is a defining issue for our nation and who would like to see justice be realized so that Congress pays attention and so that our leaders pay attention and that they deal with this issue in a way that is reflective of the needs of all of our citizens.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been to some of these rallies, and I've noticed that some people have signs that say, "We're not terrorists, we're citizens," and there seems to be a sense that the right-wingers are equating illegal aliens with terrorists and
yeah.
saying that terrorists are going to sneak across the borders.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been one of the byproducts of the war on terror, and we are very clearly stating that we're not asking anybody to break the law, even by participating in the boycott that's taking place, or that many people are calling for this boycott, and that we're not asking for individuals... we're not asking for the legal process and, you know, Border Patrol specifically to stop their due process issues and their law enforcement methods. We're asking for bigger systemic changes because if terrorists happen to sneak across the border, that's an issue of concern to the Muslim community just as much as it is to the broader community, because American Muslims number 6 million in this country, and they are by and large law-abiding contributing citizens, and the last thing that we want to see also is for a terrorist to slip over the border. But I think that that type of rhetoric is generally used as a fear-mongering technique rather than as a legitimate argument within the realm of immigration legislation.
Now, there have been a number of proposals about immigration, all from some very radical reformation. There's the current bill. Do you have a position about what you think would be best?
Well, we're working within general parameters. We are opposed to the Sensenbrenner bill because it doesn't include any provision for a guest worker program, an earned legalization program, nor a reduction in the backlogs for family-based immigration. And instead, it criminalizes undocumented people for their unlawful presence in the U.S., and it criminalizes those who work or volunteer, like I said, in faith-based organizations for helping people in need. So we think that it has more right in it, more wrong in it than it does have right. And legislation instead that should be developed needs to find ways of taking care of family reunification, taking care of a process by which undocumented individuals can find a path to citizenship that doesn't criminalize them and doesn't create a second-class citizenship status for them in the process.
Right.